You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
Well, greetings, Austin Christian Fellowship, all across Greater Austin. How you guys doing? Let me hear from you all across the city of Austin. Hi there. If I don't have the chance to know you, my name is Will Davis Jr. Welcome to ACF. We're thrilled to have you as part of our worship this weekend. If you're a guest at one of our various locations, we want to say thank you. We want to honor you. It takes a lot of courage to wander into a new church. Even as a seasoned believer, veteran, because churches have subcultures and churches have ways of doing things, and it can be a little awkward, and this is good for us who are ACF regulars to remember, it can be a little awkward to come into a service and not know anybody. And so you guys that are guests this weekend, thank you, and welcome to Austin Christian Fellowship, and I think this will be a really amazing time for you. If you need a Bible, will you raise your hand? We have volunteers at every location coming down our aisles, carrying Bibles, and they're free. If you want one, raise your hand. We'll give it to you. You can keep it, or you can just leave it on the seat when you're done. We'll pick it up and maybe get it out next week, but feel free to take one. We'd love you to have a copy of God's Word, so feel free to take it. And find Ephesians chapter 6. And extra credit, the book of Jude. Okay? Hey, thank you. Okay, just making sure you're listening. Okay, so Hey Jude was this song written by a band called the Beatles a long time ago. All right, never mind. Jude is, if you go to Revelation and take a left, Jude is the little book right in front of Revelation. If you can get there, great. But we'll put all these on the screens for you. Let me pray. We'll get going here. Father, I want to thank you for this weekend. Thank you for our respective communities all over Greater Austin. Pray your blessings on them. Thank you for churches across the city that are worshiping you right now. And we love those guys, and just pray your blessings on the 1,000-plus churches in this city and their pastors and their leaders and their congregants, Lord. May your spirit fill them and encourage them today. Lord, I pray you clear my mind. I know the significance and importance of this message you have given me. And so I pray you get me out of the way. I pray for physical strength and stamina. I pray for clarity of my mind and my thoughts. I pray for the ability to communicate well. But most of all, I pray for the power of your spirit to speak, Lord. I pray for demonstrations of your power. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, with your disciples a couple thousand years ago, Lord, teach us to pray. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, final week of a series called Jesus to the Third Power. And I'm talking this week about the Holy Spirit and his role he plays in prayer. And by that, I want to nudge all the men watching me right now from all across ACF land to join all of us next weekend that are men at the ACF annual men's retreat. It's called the Summit out of Camp Buckner. I'll get to be there the whole time this time. And I can't wait. And we're talking about prayer. And I don't know a more important message for men to heed and hear and to sign up for than being intercessors. I've created a term. You're going to love this. Mentorcessors. Get it? M-E-N. Mentorcessors. Men who are intercessors. Hold your applause. I know it's tempting, but please. Yeah, that's actually kind of good. I'm calling for a bunch of mentorcessors at Austin Christian Fellowship because women do it. Women pray. We're trying to get the men to do it. And so sign up on our website. It's worth the time. It will also make amazing friendships. You'll come back transformed. It's just 24 hours, so I hope you'll come. But we'll be talking about prayer next weekend. I really cannot wait to share what I've gotten to share with you next weekend. But this weekend, I get to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in prayer and specifically what it means to pray with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. So I'll put a statement on the screen I gave you last week. It's something that kind of came off out of my mouth at one of our services, and I thought I liked that. I'm going to say it again this week, and it's simply that the shortest distance between God's power and you is prayer. The only thing really keeping you from downloading the power of God in a regular way in your life every day is the degree to which you pray or don't pray. Prayer and power are sisters in the kingdom. The older sister is prayer. The younger sister is power. Prayer yields power. So I just want you to know that if you're looking for power in your marriage, power in your home and your family, power in your business, I mean the spiritual anointing, power to confront fear and anxiety and depression, oppression, temptation, the way you implement the authority of God, we've been talking about power these last 4 weeks here in this month of February, the shortest way to implementing the power of God in your life, friends, is prayer. You don't have to be an expert. You don't need a degree. You don't need a white collar. You just need to go and pray. You'll learn. The only thing that can hinder, the most obvious thing that will hinder the flow of God in your life is our own prayerlessness. Satan loves busyness. He loves clouded calendars. He loves clouded minds. If we will sit like Mary did at Jesus' feet and listen to his word and intercede to him, we will have power and authority in our lives. So I just want to put that statement for you one more time. The shortest route, the shortest distance between what you need from God and you. What's the last two words? Say it. It's prayer. Prayer. Okay? Ephesians 6. I'll get to Jude here in just a second. The last 20 verses, next, besides 21, 22, and 23 and 24, 10 through 20 of Ephesians 6 are about war, about battle, not army against army or kingdom against kingdom in the physical sense. It is very much again about our being at war with the powers of darkness. If you don't know much about spiritual warfare, try to live for Jesus for 24 hours and you'll find out all about it. Okay? It's real. Try to commit to pray 20 minutes a day. You'll find out about spiritual warfare. Try to break a bad habit. You'll find out about spiritual warfare. And so Paul in this passage gives us the armor based on the armor of a Roman soldier that Paul was quite familiar with because he's probably chained to one at the time he's dictating this letter. He gives us this picture of what our weapons look like, and then after giving us the rundown from head to toe on our weaponry, he moves to prayer in verse 18. It's like on top of everything else, we have prayer. So he says in verse 18, praying, notice the ongoing present active tense, praying. Praying at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication, intercession for all the saints. I'm going to read it again. I want you to count the times you see the word all in there. Because it's Paul's making a statement. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To this end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This is a broad command, and it's a command. It's an imperative. It's a series of imperative verbs or commands from the writer here saying, if once you've done everything else, guys, you must pray. He goes on in verse 19 and says, pray for me. The topic we discussed last week, pray for me to be bold. Pray that I might proclaim the gospel as I should, and I won't be intimidated by the Roman guard around me threatening to beat me or kill me if I say the wrong thing. May I pray that I will be bold even in the face of persecution. I want you to note the little phrase right there in the top part of verse 18. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Everybody say that. In the Spirit. Okay. In the original language, the is not there. Pray at all times in spirit. Is how it literally reads. So, of course, biblical scholars love to debate things like that. What did Paul mean? And some think that he meant in the Holy Spirit, and it's just so obvious that the wasn't necessary. Of course he means the Holy Spirit. Some others think that he meant pray in your spirit, out of your spirit, from your spirit. And this is why he left the article out, because your spirit's not the spirit. Some people think he meant both. Being the good son of a Democratic politician that I am, I'm going to go with both. Okay? I think Paul split this one right down the middle and thinks, I think he means the Holy Spirit, and I think he means your spirit. We'll talk about that. So pray at all times in the Spirit. Okay? Now, if you can get there, the book of Jude, 20 and 21, if not, we'll just put it on the screen for you, right before the book of Revelation, a little tiny little letter packed with theology, little letter of Jude. But you, beloved, verse 20 and 21, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, there it's said deliberately. There it says the Holy Spirit. There it is again, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads us to eternal life. So here are two biblical separate places, two different authors where this phrase praying in the Spirit is mentioned. Now, we're commanded to do much more than pray in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit, love in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit. We're to give in this. There's a lot of places where the scriptures say do something as a Christ follower in the Holy Spirit. So the idea is that as we move and function, we are doing so under the authority and influence of the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do is define for you what praying in the Spirit means. And I want to do this somewhat cautiously. Depending on your church background, for many of you, I say pray in the Spirit, and it means it has no reaction to you at all. If you grew up in church as I did, if you grew up in church on a rather where the pendulum is swung to the conservative side of things, praying in the Spirit can bring up images or fears of places we don't want to go as conservatively trained Christians. And I had to get over this. It was this, no, because praying in the Spirit brings up images of people out of control and foaming at the mouth and rolling around pews and doing all, no, I'm exaggerating, but it can bring up this negative sense of people who are out of control, and that is not what praying in the Spirit means. I believe in a prayer language that God gives people. That may or may not be praying in the Spirit. I'm not talking about that. So what I want to do for those of you who, when I said praying in the Spirit, bumped into your church baggage or your theological baggage, take a big deep breath. Not going to take you there. But I do want to tell you what it means to pray under the influence or power of the Holy Spirit. So here's the definition. To pray in the Spirit means, number one, to pray under the guidance, inspiration, and energy of the Holy Spirit. You could take the word pray out, put the word walk. If you were walking or living in the Holy Spirit, you'd walk under the guidance, inspiration, and energy of the Holy Spirit. Same thing. It means that the Holy Spirit is a very active partner and player in what you're doing. In this case, we're talking about prayer. So the lesson for this weekend is, how do we learn to pray under the guidance, the give and take, the inspiration, and the power, the authority, the energy? Do you pray differently if God is leading you how to pray than if you're just praying on your own? That's kind of what Paul's saying here. Look, make the Holy Spirit the most important player in your prayer life. Follow him in prayer. Praying in the Spirit also can mean to pray from your spirit, not just your mind. And this is where I want some of you to think. Praying from your spirit recognizes the fact that you're what's called a trichotomy, a three-dimensional person. Your body, your soul, your rationale, your will, your emotions, your mind, and you're also spirit. Taught you this before. Spirit is that piece that makes you unique to all of the parts of creation and makes you most in the image of God, because God is spirit. We are created in God's image. We also are three-dimensional. We're spirit. So to pray from your spirit means you learn the discipline of moving just from your mental thinking your prayers to God to really praying out of that third part. And guys, I've had to learn this, honestly, pretty recently in my life. I wasn't taught or trained or discipled coming up the difference between praying in my mind and saying prayers and shifting and learning how to pray. It's like the difference between singing, and this is not an illustration I know anything about, so bear with me. I'm not going to demonstrate it for you. The difference between singing from your throat and singing from down here in your diaphragm, it sounds so much different, okay? It's kind of the idea of praying the same way. Praying from your mind is one thing. Praying when your spirit takes over is another. Are you completely weirded out, or are you with me here so far? Still with me? If you're weirded out, I do not want to know. Okay. Now, I can tell you one of the first times that I experienced this. that I remember. And it was actually at this room here at Four Points. Several years ago, my wife, Susie, severely injured her thumb. I was actually in Haiti on a mission trip. And I got word that Susie had injured her thumb to such a degree that basically all the tendons here were severed, and the doctor could take her thumb and do it like a joystick. It was out of control. And I learned in Haiti that she was having surgery the next day to repair it. So I'm in Haiti on this trip, trying to get back on a plane, get back here as quick as I can. She has surgery. And after her surgery and after the time of the cast on her thumb, she developed a thing called RSD. It's a neurological disorder, an autoimmune disorder that's reflexive sympathetic dystrophy that's excruciatingly painful. She got it right around the time of our son's wedding. And she had to wear a TENS unit, an electrical shock unit. I remember traveling through an airport, coming home from Colorado, and then on the way to my son's wedding, where she'd actually walking through the airport with her hand in the air with all these wires coming from it because it kept the pain at bay. It's excruciatingly painful. And no real cure for it. It can get better, but doesn't ever really go away, but through the miraculous. And it was really messing with Suze. Hurt her badly. A lot of pain. Her right hand affected her world a lot. And so one night, here at Four Points, we got the elders to pray over her and some other people to pray over her. And it was a really sweet time of prayer. But for me, it wasn't enough. We were praying over Susie, and there was a lot of conversational prayer going on, and a lot of as I was listening to them pray, I was like, this is great, but this is my wife, and she's in pain, and these guys are not getting there. I was a little bit judgmental about the prayers I was hearing because they're a little too casual, a little too conversational, a little too lighthearted. They were doing the best they could, but it was my wife and her pain. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you need to shift gears. I was like, what? You need to move this in. So you need to pray harder for your wife and take this prayer from your mind into your spirit. It's like if you've ever driven a standard car. Okay, a standard car is a car that has a stick shift down. Never mind. If you've ever driven a standard and you're in top of fourth or top of fifth gear and your RPMs are running real high and you downshift the sticks and all the pressure relieves and you start flying, I felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to do that. Because we were kind of stuck in this very casual, Lord bless Susie, make her feel better kind of praying. It was not getting it done. The Holy Spirit said, I want more. And I just exhaled. I just went, ugh. And that's all it took. It was like the dam broke. And from my gut, I began to pray. It wasn't any sounds. It wasn't any speaking in tongues. It was just, I gave myself permission to move from here to here. It's that reference to that Romans 8, groanings too deep for words. But now I was praying to God in a different language, and it was like, then it made sense. Then I felt like I was doing adequate business with God on behalf of Susie. It's one of the first times I really began to understand what it meant. And I began then to work on disciplining myself in prayer to move from my brain where I get really distracted. You know, you pray about something, you think, oh, I got to go to the store, and you write yourself a note. Or a bird goes by your window. That's a nice bird. And you think, what was I doing? I was praying. You have those moments. Well, that's because you're praying here. When you move to your spirit, it's a lot, you don't get, the spirit now is guiding your spirit. His spirit is calling to your spirit, and you can just run. Now, for some of you, this is a practice you've been doing all your life. For me, it was like brand new. It was like, wow, who knew? Loved to have known this about 30 years ago because it has transformed my prayer life. I've learned how to shift gears and go from my second dimension, my mind, to my third dimension, my spirit, and let my spirit begin to pray. And now it's, okay, the Holy Spirit's guiding me and it's making more sense. Completely different way to pray. I pray much more effectively. I feel like I get more done in prayer in a shorter amount of time. So what I want to do is talk a bit more about that, about just what praying by the power of God's Holy Spirit and praying out of your spirit looks like and feels like and what it does for you. And again, the reason I'm teaching you this, church, is because the shortest distance between God's power and you is prayer. So anything I can give you to help you be more effective in praying, I want to do because, folks, In the Genesis 3 world, prayer trumps everything. The Genesis 3 reality is at the mercy of prayer. Isn't that great? You have the authority right now to trump everything going on in Genesis 3. It's through God's power flows in response to prayer. So anything we can learn to pray better and pray bigger and pray bolder and pray harder and pray more with more energy and more anointing, folks, let's run to that because that's where power is. Okay? So let me tell you six things that praying in God's Spirit enables you to do. And they're right here listed, five of them, in Ephesians chapter 6 and one listed in Jude verse 20 and 21. Six things that praying in the power of the Holy Spirit and praying out of your spirit enable you to do. Number one, it enables you to pray at all times. Paul says in Ephesians 6, pray at all times. Well, that's hard to do if you're asleep. That's hard to do if you're in a meeting. That's hard to do if you're listening very tenderly to your spouse process the end of his or her day. It's hard to do if you're feeling really sick and don't have any spiritual energy, and yet Paul still commands us, pray at all times. Well, how can you be praying when you're doing something with your mind? Because you're not praying with your mind, you're praying out of your gut. So I've many times caught myself talking to you and praying at the same time because I can sense the message needs anointing or we need to go somewhere or God's doing something in a room where I'm stuck and I have no idea what to say next. And while I'm talking to you, I could be doing it now and you'd never know. I can be talking to you saying, Lord, I need the next thing to say and he'll give it to you. That's how you learn to pray at all times. I'll wake up sometimes praying. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and catch myself, oh, I was praying. I wasn't praying with my mind. My spirits don't sleep. My spirit was praying, and I caught myself praying. That's a really great thing to catch yourself doing, by the way, catch yourself praying. So when you learn to pray by the power of God's Spirit and out of your spirit, you're able to pray at all times. Secondly, you're able to pray with all types of prayer because the Spirit will teach you how to make your prayers more diverse. I'm a shopping list, forgive me, this sounds so crass. If I'm left to myself and I've got 10 minutes, I got a list of names and people. I'm like, okay, God, good morning. It's great to talk to you. Can we get to this list here? That is so tacky in prayer. And God will honor it, but he deserves better. I mean, try that with somebody you love sometime. Great to see you. Can we get to the list here? No, that's not how it works. How was your day? How'd you sleep last night? How are you feeling? No, you give me more than that. So praying in the Spirit, according to God's Holy Spirit, he'll say, Will, I want you to spend some time in confession. Let's just let me pull up for you some stuff you've been driving by lately. Remember that encounter on the road you had last week? Remember that conversation you had where you really got angry? Remember that day you were so despondent you could hardly get anything done? Can you put that out there before me and let me heal that? Can you confess that? Let's talk about that. Or Will, you know what we need to do today? I want you to start with gratitude. Will, I want you to set your phone to 10 minutes, countdown, and all I want you to do for 10 minutes is tell me thank you. And you got to fill in the blank. Not just thank you. I could do that for 10 minutes. Thank you for. Thank you for. Then the atmosphere changes. Will, I just want you to worship me for a minute. Proverbs says, when you come to the presence of a king, bring a gift. When you come to the presence of a holy God, bring your gifts. Your gifts are worship and praise. God, you are. Thank you for. God, you are. God, you are. God, you are. You're good. You're magnificent. You're strong. Praying in the Spirit, he'll teach you how to do intercession. I want you to pray this for someone. He'll bring to you faces and minds and occasions for which he wants you to pray. And he'll also give him permission to do your grocery list of things you want to do for you. But when you pray listening to God and to his Holy Spirit, he'll redirect your prayer so you're not one-dimensional. Some of you just need to give the Spirit time to guide you, follow where he takes you. You know, he may say, I want you to write your prayers today. Or I want you to get up and walk around. I've started walking a lot more when I pray. I want you to walk outside or walk in your room and just exercise a bit and let me talk to you while you pray that way. Praying in the Spirit also allows you to pray alertly. Ephesians 6. Verse 18, Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To this end, keep alert. Remember that time Jesus was in the garden with his friends having the worst night of his life and they fell asleep? He said, can't you watch with me? Sometimes we drop our guard and we stop praying and things slip by us that normally wouldn't. And so you need to pray, Holy Spirit, keep me alert. I don't want to miss things. I want to be sensitive. I want discernment to what's going on around me. I want spiritual eyes to see the kingdom. I need to be alert to the temptations around me and around those of my family. Help me to stay sharp. The Holy Spirit will teach you to pray alertly. He will also teach you to pray with perseverance. I'm going to talk about this a lot at the men's retreat. Sometimes the call to pray, listen, can be a decades-long call. Some of the things God is asking you for cost a lot in prayer. Some don't cost too much. Some cost, if it's just you praying, it may cost you decades to purchase this thing in prayer, so to speak. And it's really easy to pray and pray and pray and pray and see nothing and go, I'm done. That's why the scriptures teach so much about that persistence. That persistence. I'm not giving up. I'm going to give you no rest, Isaiah 62. I'm not going to let you stop. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm going to beat on the doors of heaven. I'm going to be tenacious in prayer, because one of the things the devil will just do is just outlast you. He'll just say, go for it. In a year, I'll still be here and you won't. The devil will say that. Pray all you want to now. I know how long it's going to take. You don't. I'll be here after you're through. I win. The Holy Spirit will give you the divine energy you need. Praying in the Spirit is also praying under the energy and power of God to stay at it. Some of you miss blessings because you pray for a while and nothing happens. You get offended and walk away from God. It's like, this, I'm sorry. This cost a little more than what you gave. Stay at it. I'm not done yet, but stay at this thing. But God, you pray once or twice and God doesn't do anything. Well, I guess you're not answering my prayers. Sometimes it takes more than that. And some of you that have experienced the blessing and favor and miracles of God have been tenacious and stayed at that and know what breakthrough feels like. And you're like, I'm so glad I didn't stop. You may be one prayer away from that breakthrough. So the Holy Spirit will give you the tenacity to persevere in prayer and not quit even though you're weary. Praying in the Spirit will also equip you to pray for all the saints. This is amazing. This one is so cool. You can be praying along and God will just put a face in front of you. You can pray when you see a news headline. I saw a great article one time in a discipleship magazine called How to Pray Around the World in 30 Minutes. Because you can pray around the world in prayer. You see about a persecuted church in China, or persecuted Christians in Syria or Turkey, or a horrible famine, or outbreak of war, or a terrorist attack, and you know there's suffering. You can go right there in prayer. Holy Spirit will say, pray for me to meet the, pray for provision, pray for the church to stand up in that area. You see news headlines here in our country, in our city. You can immediately, as God brings ideas and thoughts to mind, you can pray for those things. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll equip you to become an intercessor. Even though you can't get on an airplane and jump around the world and go put your hands on something, you can put your hands on it in prayer, and it matters. It matters. And then to go to Jude, you build yourself up. Building yourself up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's a truth I've learned in the last 5 years. Prayer is discipleship. Let me tell you what that means. That means when you pray, you grow. Period. When you pray, you grow. The Holy Spirit will use your prayer activity to train you and grow you in how to be a better Christian. The sharpest class of discipleship I've ever been in, along with missions, I got to put missions right up there, it's close second, is sitting with other Christians and praying. Because God teaches us, if you've never experienced this, you've got to give yourself permission to jump into a group of people who are praying. And you don't even say anything. Just sit there and pray with them and listen. You'll grow. The Holy Spirit will teach you while you're praying. Prayer builds you up. It's like if you're training for a marathon, it's like running. If you're training for football, it's like lifting weights, okay? I train to climb mountains. I do a lot to get my lungs in shape, my legs in shape, and I get ready. Well, prayer is training. It makes you sharper in your faith. So as you pray under the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be equipped to pray at all times, even when you're asleep, to pray with all types of prayer, to pray alertly, to pray with perseverance, not quit before you're not supposed to quit. Pray for everybody as God leads them to do in your mind to do so, and it grows you. It builds yourself up. Folks, those are six amazing reasons for you to start saying, God, teach me to pray. Because it will transform everything around you. Remember, what's the shortest distance between you and God's power? What is it? It's prayer. This is why I want you to do this, because the end game is here is God's power. The end game is culture changing, life transforming, honestly, in history, headline making power of God. That's the end game. The shortest route to that is your prayers and mine, or are your prayers and mine. Okay, so let me try to land this plane here as quickly as I can. Let me talk about how to learn to pray in God's Spirit, how to learn to pray in partnering with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you five things, and then we're going to pray. What a concept. Number one, ask God to teach you to pray. It's really interesting. The disciples never asked Jesus to teach them to preach. He was the greatest preacher and storyteller who ever lived. The disciples never asked Jesus to teach them to walk on water. I think Peter's example was enough. They wanted none of it, okay? But they knew he could do it, but they never said, hey, teach us how to do that. The disciples never asked Jesus to teach them to multiply bread and fish. Didn't ask him how'd you do that? The disciples never asked Jesus how to cast out demons or how to raise the dead or open blind eyes or cure leprosy. They never asked him to do any of that. They asked him to teach them to pray. Because they knew that everything Jesus did flowed out of his prayer life. So the shortest distance for Jesus to the power of God was his prayers. So the disciples heard him praying and said, they weren't prayer rookies. They had grown up in synagogue. They heard the rabbis pray. They knew the great prayers of the Old Testament. They were praying men. They heard Jesus pray and said, we've never heard that before. Can you teach us how to do that? They heard authority. They saw things happen. He's standing at Lazarus' tomb. Dead guy 25 feet away, wrapped in cloths, 4 days into his decay process. And Jesus says, Lord, I know you've heard me. What does that mean? I've been praying about this. Lazarus, come forth. Boom, out comes the dead guy, very much alive. They're going, we've never seen that before. That's prayer. So one of the things I've been doing for years now in my life is I pray with the disciples, Lord, teach me how to pray. Because you're infinite, therefore prayer is infinite. So whatever I know today is not enough. I want to know more tomorrow. I don't want to ever level off in prayer. I want to get better, hungrier, more authoritative, more direct. I want to pray more like you. So Lord, teach me to pray. So just that's a great little line. And by the way, God answers prayers like that, so it's a pretty good chance God's going to answer that prayer. You say, Lord, teach me to pray, pretty good chance. He's going to say, you betcha. Let's go. Second thing, this is real important. This is so important, and we do this a lot when I pray with other people. Ask the Spirit to guide you when you pray. Say, Lord, I need you to show me I've got 10 minutes here. So would you show me where to spend this 10 minutes? I mean, I've got a list, but what do you want to talk about, Lord? We often say in our prayer times together, Lord, bring to our minds the faces, the names, the events, the issues that you want us to pray for. And then you have to wait and kind of listen. And you need to trust your gut and trust the Holy Spirit when you're doing this. So you're sitting there in silence and, wow, I feel this really strong burden to pray for Donald Trump. That can't be the devil telling me to pray for Donald Trump. I've never prayed for Donald Trump in my life. Okay, wow, I guess you only pray for our president. Lord, what do I pray for my president? Okay, he'll show you. Or you'll get a burden. You'll get this passion. Oh, Lord, I'm so concerned about this person. Or somebody had surgery this past week. Or our church is really trying to do this important thing. And you listen and these ideas come to mind. And when you're in a prayer setting and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, it's okay to trust your mind. Say, if something pops in my brain, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with it. So learn to be a little less one-dimensional, if you'll allow allow that in prayer, where you're just going to go through your list and allow a little give and take where you say, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? And then listen. Or, Lord, what I'm going to pray about my marriage. What do you want me to pray about my marriage right now? Because I know what I want to pray about my spouse, and that's probably not God-honoring. So what do you want me to pray about my marriage right now? Or our finances, or my children. How do I pray for my kids right now, God? Spirit, guide me. You know what you're going to learn? He will. You're going to learn the coolest things that when you'll give the Holy Spirit a chance to instruct you in prayer, He will instruct you not just how to pray, but what to pray. Okay? Third, pray as you read God's word. You're not going to be able to see this very well, but I pray the scriptures all the time. This is Psalm 119 in my Bible, and I pray Psalm 119, parts of it, every single day of the week. And you can see, maybe you can see that it's marked up. You can see initials. I've got ACF. I've got WDD. I've got the word focus. I've got ACF again. Got SMD for Susie Marie Davis. I've got in other places my kids' initials, some of your names and initials. And what I'll do is I'll read along. And I'll read like Psalm 119, verse 74. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I've hoped in your word. Lord, I pray that for Austin Christian Fellowship. Father, I pray that they'll look at us and rejoice because of how you've come through for us through your word and through faith. That we'll be a church that inspires and encourages people. Or let my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame. Lord, I pray that for me. WDD, I pray that for me, God. Because when you're reading the Bible, you're interacting with the Holy Spirit. This is a living document. When you're reading the Bible, you're interacting with the Spirit. And just pray what he puts in front of you. It's a prayer script. Pray with others. Pray with others. Get in a prayer meeting where people pray faster. I don't mean with speed. I mean they've been seasoned beyond you in prayer and just listen to them pray. I learned how to pray listening to people pray. And finally, push your comfort zones. You have to be willing to not just sit and do the same thing every day. So when you say, Lord, teach me to pray, you got to be willing to do what he says. Get up and walk around. Get on your knees. Pray this one verse until you have breakthrough on it, and he will. Folks, the reason I want you to learn this stuff, I want ACF to be really, really good at this, is because the shortest distance between God's power and us, what is it? It's prayer. So let's pray.